love line, Amanda Perola, is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'll tell you, that plan to have the sound of the anvil going through the sliding glass door just before the show starts repetitively.
Night after night?
Night after night. It's a bad call, and I'll tell you why, because Drew and I don't put our headphones on until after that, except for the problem is after that's when the show starts. Each night before the show, we stand here with our, or I should say sit here, and I look forward to the day when I say lay here.
Oh.
Ooh. When we just sit here with our headphones held out above our heads, but in the stretched open position, ready to drop down on our noggins as soon as the beginning of the show is over. All right, it is Love Line. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And I had something I wanted to say, and now I can't remember.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good. Yeah.
Good play being correct on it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Good. Ralph Nader.
Oh. How's that crackpot doing?
He's all right. Got a lot of slogans, a lot of just shibboleths, empty, like, we're going to get the man, we're going to get those fat cats, and we're going to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
Nice man.
Yeah, seems like
yeah.
it. Well, you can't go wrong talking. I mean,
attacking people with money.
Attacking people yeah. with no. money, right. Yeah, but listen, everybody who wants to attack people with money, now that I'm, you know, literally a millionaire, let me explain something. It is tantamount to you cutting the head off of the country. Now, I know this is not a popular viewpoint, but you know why most of the people who have money?
Luck.
Contrary to popular demand? No, they did not inherit it. They're smarter than we are. They work harder. They work longer. They stay up longer, they get up earlier, and they're smarter. And when you combine all those things together, you then have people who have more money than you do, and I do, and Drew does, and Ralph Nader does. Now, it's okay for us to demonize them, that's fine, but let's not cut them off. Because that 10% of society pays for 90% of the stuff. And then what'll happen is all you people who are complaining, you're going to have to start paying for stuff when you cut those people off. I don't know what it is. It's a very alarming number, but a very small percentage of society, maybe it's 7 or 8%, pays for like 95% of everything.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is think about what Bill Gates is putting in tax-wise each year. How many? Picture if you had a little graph. It's like Bill Gates, one little, you know, those little... black silhouette people.
Right.
They put, like what's on a bathroom door.
Right, right.
Picture Bill Gates on one side of the chart, and then how many other little silhouette people to the left side of the chart it would take to fill up with a little dollar sign underneath him in terms of tax revenue.
Yeah.
Does he need that money? I don't know. Don't care. That's not our business. Our job is not to question whether he needs that much money. Our job is to say, how many of those other little people does he pay for? And the number is one Bill Gates, and then there'd be maybe 100 million other people next to Bill Gates. Now, you want to cut that guy's head off? Good plan. I say we just laugh. Shouldn't all those people that are on the left side of the column just be looking over and laughing that he's paying for the roads and the schools that his kids never use?
Good point.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, good point.
Shouldn't we be laughing? Well, let's not attack him. Let's laugh at him. We'll do that, but let's not attack him. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. My girlfriend just went back on birth control, right?
Yeah.
And she's starting to, like, get nauseous and throwing up because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was her gynecologist said that she could take it rectally. I don't know if she just, you know, blowing smoke up her skirt or what.
Well, there are hormones that she could get in suppository form, but not really the birth control pill per se.
Couldn't he wedge it into his urethra and then
fire it
into her rectally?
Sure.
I mean, Lord knows we've all done that in a pinch.
No, I don't know of any preparation
that
truly the usual birth control pill given that way. The progesterone thing you can give by suppositories. Those are vaginal suppositories, actually.
Oh, I've never done a rectal suppository, if you don't count a jacuzzi jet in high school.
You've done more.
And when one puts something in one's anus, doesn't it just pop out?
No, it slides up.
And stays?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty...
Is that how you get stuff into prison, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
I would think if I put a pill in my ass, it would be much like feeding, like, let's say, a Red Hot to a dog.
Huh.
Like, you ever try to feed something to a dog that doesn't want, and it just puts it in its mouth, and it sits in its mouth a second, and then just falls out?
Right, right. No, the anus is an instrument. Let me give me a picture.
No, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the anus. I don't want to see the anus.
It's a little longer than you think.
Yeah, but how far up there do you got to put that pill before it stays?
Your colon comes down like this.
And how come, hey, Drew?
And then this is the outside world here.
How come dogs, they don't have the ability to spit? If they want something to come out of their mouth, they have to hang their mouth open and lean over and hope that it falls out. How come God? You know, dog can put its leg up and piss across the street. Dog can lick its own nuts. But a dog cannot spit something out of its mouth. It has to open its mouth and let it fall out. Yes.
Genius. Suit gamer. Just remember that.
Yeah.
This has to go all the way through all that. That's
yeah, how far do you have to get your finger up there, though?
Not that far. Like you know, yay.
Wow, just to the first knuckle? Just
the pinky. But the thing is designed to slip up. It goes on up.
You go pinky, huh?
Yeah.
I go ring finger. That's me.
I know.
That's why we're different, Eric.
You've had a little practice.
I think I break my pinky off in my asshole if I try to put it in there. It's not big enough. I go with a bigger finger. Strong finger. Eric?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I had a recent masturbation innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Are you ready?
Humanity has moved forward a giant step tonight.
Let me grab my pencil. Go ahead.
Everybody, okay.
Yeah.
All the, I guess just kind of guys out there, take out your pens and pencils and paper and whatever. Okay.
And let me just jump in for a second here. I am thoroughly prepared to be disappointed.
Yes.
I am now a 36, and I never hear anything from anybody that interests me anymore, or I go, oh, my God, I never thought about that. That is true. You're 100% correct. But go ahead, Eric.
That hurts.
Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. All right. What you need is a bed, a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably, you know, less of that, you know, girly perfume stuff because, you know, that irritates the Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And, a little, washcloth. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you apply the cream in an area, you know, you saturate the washcloth kind of in an area that's kind of as long as, you know, Mr. Winky is,
yeah.
And just, you know, a little bit wider, and then you've kind of folded over.
Mm-hmm.
You put that on your bed, and you put your pillow on the washcloth.
All right, but you understand I do this 4 times a day. I don't have time to turn it into some MacGyver-esque experiment.
Okay, well, you just put, you know, you could just, like, put Saran Wrap over
the cream in the washcloth. Where do you put the washcloth?
Under the pillow.
The washcloth over, so, you know, you kind of got yourself, like, a nice little, like, slot. And you put the pillow on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have, like, another pillow for your head. And then you kind of wing it. And
I see. Are you lying on your back at this point?
No.
He's creating a virtual vagina.
I know, but he said you have a pillow for your head.
Yeah, so you
going forward.
It's an
you're going forward. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Just pretending the pillow is a woman. So yeah.
Because it's nice. Automatic cleanup, and, you know, like.
I don't know about automatic, yeah. Yeah, all right.
It's beautiful.
All right.
No one has ever thought of that before, I'm sure.
Listen.
Glad you thought enough to call.
Let me explain something, and I hope most of you are on board with this. I don't masturbate to simulate the feel of a woman. I masturbate to masturbate.
Yeah, but at 16, they might be trying to...
I know, but it's always funny when these guys are like, well, you get a mason jar and you fill it with a chub pack of ground beef. Now, I like 22% fat, but if you want to go 15% or even 8% a leaner cut of beef, that's fine. I'm not here to question that. And I'll throw a raw egg in there and I'll mix that thing up. Then I put it in the microwave and I get it just at the body temperature. And if you got 6 to 8 ounces of ground beef in there, usually 25 to 30 seconds. Don't go too long in the microwave or you'll be humping a hamburger. And then once you get it out of the microwave, what I like to do is I like to put a little rust-colored shag carpet around the opening of the mayonnaise jar, the mason jar. That simulates the vaginal hair. Then what I'll go ahead and do is I'll turn on the TV, and I'll put it on The View, because there's a lot of women talking on that show. Then what I go ahead and do is I mount up the mason jar with the girls talking in the background and the warmed, not cooked, warmed hamburger beef, again, 20% fat is what I like, and I have myself it. And then when I'm done, I feed it to the dog. And it's like, yeah. Listen, I don't, you know, I'm not Frankenstein. I'm not Dr. Frankenstein in the lab here.
Wow.
Is that a little too graphic?
No, it's all right.
I know, but there's something about building a woman.
Yeah.
Then I'll go down to the hardware store and I'll get 40, 50 feet of fallopian tubing and I'll connect that to the mayonnaise jar. Now you're cooking. There's this fantasy. Do you remember you had that when you were like 14, 15? It's like, if I could have a woman... You know, like bring her to life or make her my slave.
That's a weird science.
Yeah, it's weird science. Yeah. But it's kind of the date rape drug mixed in. I mean, that's the more reality of it. It's like right. If a woman would just pass out and sort of hold still. I don't want to hurt anybody, but if they would just hold still and just let me do stuff to them, you know? I could run around naked in front of them. I could grab their boob and make a honking sound. Then you get a little older, and it's like, screw it. I'm just going to one of those oriental massage places and get myself a reach around. Julie?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yeah.
All right, let me explain how you simulate the male penis. And by the way, women don't go through all this work.
No, they don't. Never.
Certainly don't.
Never.
Now, they sit in a tub, and they think of scented candles. It's like, were you even thinking of a man? No.
Well, no,
I was thinking of a candle.
It's like kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Well, who?
Okay.
Oh, this guy.
I saw the movie once.
Do you like him? Not really. Would you have sex with him? Oh, no. Women are, like, screwed up when it comes to masturbating. So you're masturbating to a guy you wouldn't have sex with?
No, just a feeling.
I thought about potpourri and scented candles and thought about this gentleman who I passed once in a car on the freeway. He was going southbound on the 405. I was going northbound. All right. Anyway, Julie, what's up?
Yeah, I've been, like, always really pushed, like, intellectually because, like, I was considered a prodigy when I was really little. And right now...
Join the club.
What made you a prodigy?
Carpet cleaning prodigy, my friend.
What made you a prodigy?
Well, my dad did is, like, I used to, like, okay, one time I asked him a question about something about, like, I really love physics, but I'm actually going to go into astrophysics.
All right. Hey, Newton, hold on a second. Can you turn the goddamn TV down?
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
I'm looking at Dexter's laboratory.
Prodigy.
Well, the only thing that kind of brought it up was when I was younger. One time I asked my dad a question about science, and he said, like, go to the library. And I came back with, like, relativity, and I read it. And I read it when I was, like, 4 and a half.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I was getting really into math and science.
Right. You went down to the library alone when you were 4 and a half?
No, he took me. But, okay.
All right. So you're into math and science.
Well, yeah, and like, you know, whatever. And he had me take the men's exam when I was really little, when I was 5. And I passed Virginia Mensons.
Uh-huh.
And I've been in it for a while.
Oh, let me talk to her. Don't you think that's just going to screw up a kid, Junior Mensa?
He's pushing him.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, everyone, I'm 5 and a half. I'm a genius.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Interesting. It's almost the flip side of the dad going, you'll never amount to anything. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
The opposite of that.
Thank God my dad never had the energy to speak to me. Oops. Wait a minute. Would they have Junior Mensa?
Yeah.
Are you asking me?
Hello?
How old do you have to be to get in that Junior Mensa?
Well, I was a little bit young, but usually about 7 is the average age. 7 to 12. Once you're 16, you're in regular Mensa. I just got into regular Mensa because I just turned 16 August 1st.
I actually, my parents enrolled me in a club called Tardo when I was 6. Junior Tardo. I was 6 months young. They fudged some paperwork.
Tarta.
Yeah, we put cooking pots on our heads and ran around and clapped them into each other. That's anyway. So
what's
Junior
happening
Mensa,
today?
Yeah, what's your IQ?
170.
Yeah. What's happening today?
What?
What's going on today?
What's
up?
My question.
Yeah.
Okay, I have like no interest whatsoever. And, like, okay, I do somewhat have, like, I'm attracted to guys and I have a relationship now, but I don't have any interest in being, like, sexual or intimate at all. Like, I just don't think about it. And I know, like, he's kind of like, oh, okay. And,
who says that?
My boyfriend.
Do you have a boyfriend?
170 IQ, and she's talking about someone she hasn't brought up in the conversation
right.
yet.
Right.
And it can't be. You're not 170.
No, I just said I'm in a relationship.
Nobody calls a radio show with the TV blaring in the background with a 170 IQ.
I forgot. Like, I was reading.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. So, he's not. What are you, in high school now?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Shouldn't you be in college?
I'm going next this fall.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Yale.
Yeah, Yale takes a bunch of youngies.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
They do.
That's good. What are you going to study?
Well, it's astronomy and physics.
They take them, like, computer experts and stuff.
Well, those are all Asians.
It's astronomy and physics. It's the major together.
I see. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'll be a theoretical physicist.
Why?
Because, I don't know, I love it. I really do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a passion for me. Mm-hmm. I communicate with, you guys, Stephen Hawking.
You communicate with him? He knows you're around? I mean,
yeah. Well, for some, like, the last year.
How do you communicate with him?
Well, my dad used to work at Stanford as a professor there for physics, and I met him when my dad took me to one of his lectures at Cambridge.
Interesting.
And how do you communicate with him? Like, email?
Yeah.
How does he
not even really him. It's like his assistant guy. He's one of his students.
I see. Where's he at? What university is he at?
Cambridge. He's a Lucasian professor of mathematics.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he just sort of rolled through the country in an electric wheelchair.
He goes up.
He's like Charles Perrault. He just fires up that wheelchair and just rolls and he's going to a town near you. All right,
I don't know why you're not particularly interested in
things. Yeah, you're too smart. Listen.
You're actually the other thing.
Sex is for dumb people.
Well, we've pointed it out before. When you strip everything else away, there's eating and reproduction.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you've transcended sex. You close your eyes, you don't see a naked man, you see atoms splitting.
I think you will. I think, but you got a lot on your plate. I bet you're stressing yourself out more than you even realize.
You attracted to this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long you been with him?
Like 6 months.
You like him a lot?
What?
You like him a lot?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing with him?
Hmm?
What are you doing with him physically?
Like making out.
Yeah, you don't want to go past that?
Well...
You don't have the urge to?
Is that pleasurable to you?
Not particularly.
She's not into him.
Yeah, you're not that into him. Have you ever been past making out with anybody?
Not really.
All right, well, listen. Here's the deal. Truly...
Mm-hmm.
I know you're genius, but I'm going to enlighten you anyway. Okay, you have a certain gift, you know?
Yeah.
You may be making a little too much of it, but you have a certain gift. And it makes you a little bit different than other people. And so you're going to excel in certain things, like you'll be heading off to Yale next year while your other buddies are still in high school. But in other facets of life, it may slow you down a little bit. And it's just like why the Poindexters aren't the captain of the football team. Why isn't that the same person? Why aren't the guys that are out getting a ton of tail getting the straight A's and getting the academic scholarships? It's not always the same brain. It's rarely the same brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So here you are excelling at a certain part of life, which is more important, and the other part will come shortly. You may just be a little... Here's what I'm going to say. As far ahead as you are academically, which is probably a couple years in front of your peers, you may be a couple years behind socially, or at least physically.
Some of that energy.
Sexually.
There's a lot of that energy went into intellectual growth, but might be social growth.
Right. So don't worry about it.
And understand, here's an intellectual sort of tidbit for you, which is that you're not into this guy. Learn to read at least your feelings a little bit. Understand when you're really not into somebody, you're not going to respond sexually. That's fine.
Right. Yeah, true. Were you in? Did they have like a gifted program in your?
I remember the school.
Your school was Little Lord Fauntleroy's School of Albino Hemophiliacs.
Yes, that's right.
That's where Drew went to prep school, and where they wore bow ties and during casual day it was ascots. Friday was casual Friday. They were allowed to wear ascots and only the first initial monogrammed on the lapel of their blazer. Is that true, Drew?
On casual days, yeah.
Shoes with only one. Okay, here's casual day.
One tassel.
One tassel on the shoes. Instead of the bow tie, you wear the ascot and just the first and middle initial, no last initial, on the blazer.
There you go.
Nice. Nice.
Cool emblem, okay.
So the whole school was basically a sort of elite. They would be like the Navy SEALs, right, academically, right?
Right?
So it's like saying, was there any special Navy SEAL in the group of
right.
Navy SEAL? And the answer is they were all Navy SEALs.
They were like, there were special.
A couple guys got shot in Nam and got a Purple Heart.
But there's no special program for them.
Right, because that's all that was.
Right.
Right. We had the, let's see, when I was in junior high, we had the MGM program, the Mentally Gifted Minds.
Seriously?
Yeah. And even though...
was it MDM also?
I was in...
Mentally Deficient Minds?
No, even though I was in the TARD program, the Upstart TARD program, I still remember thinking... Isn't mentally gifted mind sort of redundant? Isn't mental and mind, are we talking about the same thing?
The GM program.
Yeah, mentally yeah. gifted.
Or gifted mind,
yeah. You don't have to tack the mind on at the end of the mental part, do you?
No.
What other part of your body could be mentally gifted?
You know how the kinds of people that are in those programs, they need three letters for the monogram.
That's
true. And it's always coolest when there's two letters on either side with the big G in the middle.
Yeah, right. I was such a horrible student that my counselor, I remember just wanting to take this sort of a basic English class or just signing up for like Mr. Tompkins English class. And my counselor said, hey, are you sure? I was like, why? He's kind of a hard teacher. I was like, yeah, but it's not like some sort of advanced accelerated program or something, is it? No. But, you know, you got to, like, do work in his class. And I was like, hey, thanks for the tip. You're right.
You say, hey, Tardo?
No, he didn't call me Tardo back then. Just call me by my last name. All right, Mr. Tomey. We'll hope you're making that 37 grand.
And he can?
Kiss my ass. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be back after this. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sitting around talking to Drew about our very different childhoods.
Very, very.
And how school for me, and this is 85, maybe 90%, every one of my friends, warehouse. Warehouse. Sat around there and wasted time. Brought a brochure in for my basketball hoop.
Here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the one back here?
Listen, everybody. Listen, I do everything on this show except for talk about whatever it is I'm supposed to be talking about. But let me tell you something. I'm putting a basketball hoop up at my house, and I ain't screwing around. I ain't going with one of these trash can lids for a backboard.
There it is.
No, that ain't it. Let me tell you what I'm going with. Regulation.
That's it right there.
That's it. Glass.
I know. See it.
Do you understand? I'm going with a glass backboard.
42 by 72. Competition.
42 by 72 and glass.
What was it, 48 by 72, Adam?
48?
Right, competition.
What is NBA? Is that 48 by 6? Is that 4 by 6?
Somebody has something bigger than you here. You better get the 48.
How dare they? It'll make my penis look even smaller when I stand next to it. Keegan's?
National?
All right. Don't, but please, Drew.
Okay.
You can only dream of my bachelor lifestyle. Uh-huh. Keegan?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I was sitting in here, my dad walked in and he lifted up my bed and he found my porn collection.
Who did?
My dad.
Oh, boy. He just, what, you were sitting there, he walked right in and said, I know what's under here, and walked out?
Yep, and he didn't care.
Well, that's good.
Well, wait a minute.
So what's your question?
I was wondering if there's something wrong with that or something.
What does your porn collection consist of?
Girls.
Hold on a second. Right, have a pen what do you say?
Girls.
Girls. All right, buddy. Well, now that we know exactly what is in your porn collection, we can take a more informed approach to this question. So you're saying it's girls?
Yep.
I see. Okay. Well, in that case, here's a definitive answer. Now, don't worry about it.
Did your dad walk in to sort of prove a point that he knew what you were up to? Or was he just standing here beside to pull your mattress up?
Yes.
He's making a point.
No,
he's just letting you know he knew and just, yeah, just putting out
that. Nobody cares. And listen, all you guys who think you're hiding your magazines between mattresses, between the mattress and the box spring, you are high. People have been hiding stuff there since the dawn of civilization, and parents have been finding it there. Do not put stuff there.
When people slept on haystacks.
People did it.
Parents would check under the hay.
Under the hay, between the hay and the ground of the barn.
Yes,
that's right. Do not put stuff under your mattress. That is the, I don't know, there's some sort of instinctual impulse. You know what it is? It must be some sort of Cro-Magnon reptilian brain thing that wants you to sleep on your booty. You know what I mean? Like, I got my little treasure, and I'm sleeping on it, man. Like, I, you know, it's like I killed something,
yeah,
and I'm going to eat it tomorrow,
right,
and I ain't leaving it over there. I'm going to sleep on it.
Yeah.
Whether it's money or porn, it's under me.
In
if you want it, you got to, like, roll, you got to wake me up, yeah, and move me.
In my mattress.
Yeah, there's, like, yeah, a really symbolic thing to it, but it doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
Because you will be found. Alexis?
Yes.
You're 26.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm 26. I'm married. I have two girls. I guess I'm kind of experienced in sex, but I've never had an orgasm. Will I ever?
No.
Do you work with your husband on this?
Yes.
And what's...
And I get to the point where I'm going to, but I have to stop every single time.
Why?
Right when you get up there?
Yes.
Why?
Women are nuts with that.
Well, my husband just told me right now because I'm not thinking of potpourri and candles.
Well, so he has a point there, right?
No, I don't think of anything.
I've said this 1,000 times. No man has ever gone, okay, back. Oh, no, yeah, I'm right there. I'm going to come. I'm right on this. Oh, no, stop. No, stop. No, sorry. No, can't do it. No, thank you. No.
Just irritated.
No. Forget it. No, it wasn't right. Has a guy ever done that?
No.
Ever?
In human history, no.
No, I mean, listen, your grandparents could kick in the front door of your apartment and it'd be like, Granny, Grammy, Nana, hold on. Okay, what are you guys doing in town?
And everyone's like, oh, it's too intense.
It's too much. It feels too good. Alexis?
Yes.
Why do women do that?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling you.
What is the sensation you have that makes you stop?
It really feels good, like I'm going to have an orgasm, I think, but then it turns into a hurt almost.
Yeah. You got to work with your partner on this.
You have been.
Is it like too intense?
I think so. Yeah. I get really tight, like intense type of.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Right, but it's too intense in the sense that, like, like I said, when you ever put your tongue on the roof of your mouth,
it's irritating.
Yes,
and it like
it's irritating.
It tickles,
and
but it, all right, everyone do that. All right, you ready? Everyone put you
way in the top, way in the top.
Put your tongue up on the roof of your mouth on your palate. Okay, ready? One,
lightly brush your tongue.
Okay,
across.
Lightly brush. Right, 1, 2, 3, go.
No.
People know how it feels.
Oh, wait a minute, it worked. Drew, put your tongue on the roof of my mouth.
Oh,
come here.
It's going to come out of it.
Yikes.
All right, so it's too intense. Anything weird happen to you that we need to know about? Uh-oh.
Like when I was younger?
Yeah.
When I was young, my mom's dad, or my mom's husband, I mean, tried to molest me and my sister, but I don't think he really did.
Yeah.
You don't think so? Still kind of weird that you were living with a guy who was trying to do it, though, right?
Yes.
You're fairly jovial about the attempted molestation. God bless you. Hey, she's kidding. Imagine if he'd raped her, she'd be hysterical. This guy finger banged me. That's crazy. Yeah, you should have been there. I wish I had a video camera.
All right, well, because I don't think that's the big issue here. I just think you got to work with your husband. Maybe
oral sex?
We've been working on this for...
All right, how about you getting going? How about you getting going with, like, a vibrator or water jet or something?
I'm really open to more things now, but I hadn't been for a long time,
yeah.
I think.
All right, listen. Alexis, here's what you need to do. Work on yourself, minus your husband. Get yourself a vibrator. Check it out. Find your space, find your spot, and then you can start incorporating him.
There you go.
All right.
I have something true to tell you that I know for a fact. I worked in, like, special ed department with a lot of teachers and stuff, and what I always heard from these women, 99% of all women masturbate and the other 1% is lying.
No, that's men.
That's men.
They were wrong. They never believed me.
No, a lot of women do, but it's not as prevalent as with men.
These are special ed teachers.
Nice.
Oh. Thank God bless the special ed people, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Jessica?
Hello?
You're 15. What's up?
Okay. I was, like, with my boyfriend at the mall, and my dad comes up, and he, like, straight in my face, he tells me, what are you doing with this white boy? And then he starts going on and on about how I shouldn't date white people when his wife is white.
This is in front of everybody?
Yeah, in front of my boyfriend. Now he won't even talk to me because he's scared he's going to get me in trouble.
Listen, he's black, you're mixed, right?
I'm...
How do you know what she is?
White.
She said his wife is white.
My dad's wife is white.
Well, maybe they're not black.
But that's not your mom?
Mexican or something.
Okay, see, look, I'm Dominican Republic, Nicaraguan, and black. And I get the Dominican Republic and the Nicaraguan for my father. And he is married to a white woman. They have a little white little son.
Wait a minute, where'd you get the black part then?
My mother.
Well, he's married to a black woman, but that's not a white woman. That's not your original mom.
Yeah.
So he has, for himself, he's not particularly concerned about race issues.
I guess.
But somehow for you...
Yeah, it's like, and he said it, like, right in front of him. He didn't, like, pull me aside to tell me. He said it right in front of him.
Did he explain why?
No, he just, like, no, you shouldn't be with
him. And the parents, it's so bizarre.
All right, wait a minute. I'm trying to get this. You're Dominican Republican, black and Nicaraguan.
Nicaraguan.
Right. And you don't like, how you guys doing with the El Salvadorians? You're still not into them, huh? You don't like those people?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She's fine. She's American.
And your boyfriend is what?
White.
And white. And your dad's black.
No.
No. Mommy's black.
So your dad's Mexican, your mom's black.
Yeah, he's Hispanic.
And he doesn't want you to date the white guy?
Exactly.
No, his wife is black. His white now. His current
wife. Yes, new wife. New wife is white, yeah, isn't it?
Old one's black.
All right. What a...
Well, it's great. I mean, it's good. But why he chooses to set limits with you on this stuff is very bizarre.
Well, what does he want you to date?
I don't know. I guess he wants me to date black people. But I'm like, a lot of times I'm not attracted to black people because a lot of black boys around here in D.C. like have cornrows, and I don't like that. I don't like the braids in their hair.
I see. Yeah.
And so I'd like
dating. I like the cornrows. It's just when they pull them out, it gets a little scary. Ever see when they, like, Snoop Dogg pulls those cornrows out? Especially when, like, half his head is undone and the other half is in cornrow. One half's like Bozo and the other half is all pulled back. All right, well, what about find yourself a nice Nicaraguan guy or Dominican guy?
Because why would I go with somebody to make my father happy? I'm dating somebody to make me happy.
But I would suggest that you wouldn't really be perceiving people's color that much because you were raised around lots of different ethnicities. So you're not going to be sort of thinking that way. The only time I've seen parents really take issue with this is when they themselves had a hard time as a mixed-race couple, and they don't want to see you go through that as a child.
Or they're prejudiced.
But how could they be if they're not an issue to them interpersonally?
Well, sometimes people can have their own life and project it onto others. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens a lot. All right, hey, Jessica.
Uh-huh.
You date a nice... stay with the white guy.
Whatever.
Don't talk to me because he doesn't want to get me in trouble.
The white guy?
Yes, he will not call me. He doesn't talk to me at school. He doesn't do anything. He just like
hold on. Let me talk to Drew for a second.
He's a pussy, huh?
No, he's not a pussy. He doesn't like her.
Oh, okay.
Think about that.
Maybe dad's really scared the hell out of him, though.
Well, what does the dance make up? Because let me tell you, Dominican, black, and Nicaraguan, that's like a Doberman and Rottweiler thing this year. Of course the guy's scared. What you want is Jew with a little sprinkling of Asian. That's an ass you can get. You don't want that black, Nicaraguan, and Dominican. That's like some sort of, all you got to do is sprinkle a little Shiite Muslim in there, and you got some kind of black belt terrorist with a machine gun. That's a horrible, like I said, that's Pitbull, Doberman, and Rottweiler.
That's the way you just, in one fell swoop, create racial sort of epithets that cover most of humanity.
That's a compliment. I'm paying them a compliment.
I understand. Yeah. All right, let's take a break.
All right, hold on. Jessica?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is white and he's scared. That's all.
Probably.
But he doesn't like you anymore because he talked to you at school.
Well, he doesn't talk to me.
He, I know.
He holds his little card and he says, "Oh, I can't talk to you because I don't want you to get in trouble." And
I know, but that just means he's done with the relationship. I'm sorry to drop that bomb on you, but everyone close your eyes and then touch the roof of your mouth. No. Everyone picture someone you're really into, and you run into their dad, and their dad says, "You two got to break up," and you're really into this person, and they see you at school, and they want to come up and talk to you, and you go, "No, I can't talk to them." That ain't a person you're into. What you do is you talk to them, and you go, "Hey, next time we meet, let's not have your dad running around."
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Right. All right. We'll take a break. Yeah. Love line. I'm just tired of talking. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh man, I took a nap today, brother. Oh, I didn't even know where I was.
Good.
Oh, I was in strong. I was in deep. And it was one of those naps that was I was in so deep that when the outside noises started, I started working them in.
In the dream.
Yeah. My maid was downstairs with the vacuum. Well, that sounds like big time, don't I? She only comes once every other week. But the point is, she was vacuuming. I worked that S right into my dream. I was being naturally, it's never a good thing. Someone fires up a vacuum. I'm getting sucked through some porthole in time.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
running over you.
Yeah, and I'm being sucked down some sewer drain or something. It can never just be a good noise. Couldn't be some sort of vacuum device on my penis or something. I have to be getting sucked into some storm drain. But anyway, man, it was good. Joe?
Yeah, what's happening?
I'm still asleep from this afternoon's nap.
Hope you enjoyed it.
I shan't remember this show.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Reason I'm calling, all right, I'm 28. I have a really good friend that I've known, or we've known for like 7 years. He's gay. And, you know, he's always been one of the strange ones, but a really cool guy, whatever. You know, we've helped him through a lot. He's been through a lot of, you know, crap in his life, whatever. But now I think he's messing around with like a kid who's probably like 15.
But who is this guy, the 30-year-old?
Friend of his.
Just a friend. You know, we used to live next to him in some apartments. You know, we've known him for a long time. Just always, you know, someone we hung out with and helped out.
Who's we?
Gay Bob, right?
My wife and I.
Your wife and you.
We lived in the apartments before we got married, and we've known him for 7 years, you know.
I see. And what makes you think he's with this 15-year-old now?
Just, like, when he just recently moved closer, like, to us, and he doesn't work or anything. He's home all the time. He's on disability, you know.
Come on. What's the disability?
Working it. It started, you know, as a mental type thing.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be on medication, but he doesn't really need the medication. That made him worse.
Now, wait a minute. People don't get on chronic disability for psychiatric reasons that don't need to be on medicine.
Well, he tried to work it that way because he was in jail already, and he didn't want to be in that portion, so it kind of just leaned towards that way.
Jail for what?
He was in jail for, like, it just happened to be with somebody who they had drugs in the car or something like that, ended up in jail and didn't really like that portion of it, didn't fit so well, and he thought that he
was joke.
Did he have a sister who could possibly marry this guy? That's like a lovely chance. All right, so Joe, here's the deal. You think that he is feeling up some 15-year-old, right?
And the thing is, it's weird, you know, and I found out not too long ago, and it really pissed me off. Apparently, like, when he was, like, 14, and he went off to camp, and he was a kid, you know, some older guy, a counselor or something, was with him, and I was telling him, you know, that's sick, and somebody ought to beat that dude's ass. He should be found and buried, basically. You know, that's totally wrong.
Right.
And he was just like, no, I was into it, you know.
Right, because somebody got to him when he was a little kid.
Somebody turned him gay.
No, but somebody sexually abused him when he was a little
kid. And turned him gay. Joe?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. A, probably not a great friend. B, if you think that this guy is screwing around with a 15-year-old, you should report him.
You got to call the police. And then stop idealizing him. He's a criminal. He's got psychiatric problems. He's not compliant with his medication. This guy's real serious trouble. And now he's damaging a 15-year-old.
Let me get into the problem with everybody. I've done a fair amount of this with my friends. People you know, all of a sudden they're okay. he's killed a few people.
Right.
Sure, he breaks into hospitals and steals medical supplies and, you know, doesn't pay taxes and beats his wife.
He's such a nice guy.
You don't know her, but he's a decent guy. He's no, he's an all right guy. You got to know him.
The only reason he went to jail in the first place, he just happened to be in the car. Somebody else had the drugs. I mean, he just got a bad rap. Wait a minute.
I know. You know what's funny, too? Listen, I don't even care if someone is a criminal. I meet people that are a-holes, and people are like, Stu's a little bit of an a-hole. You got to get to know him. And I'm like, no, I don't. And they're like, sure. Once you guys spend like a good weekend together in Palm Springs in a bungalow, then you'll realize that Stu is like, why do I want to get to know a guy who's an a-hole better? You know what I mean? Yeah. And people are like, no. You'll find out one day. And I'm like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Although a lot of people feel that way about me. It's true, I must admit.
No.
They don't? No, I do. I get a lot of reports.
What do you mean?
Jimmy told me this weekend, he said, we just were hanging out with some people in San Francisco, and they thought I didn't like them. And Jimmy goes, you know, I get that a lot. A lot of people don't think I like them.
But you don't.
But I don't.
I know you well enough to know that's true.
I didn't want to say anything to Jimmy, but that's true. You're right. All right.
The only thing I like about Jimmy said too is he tells you to just take it easy on me when you get outlandish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
TJ?
TJ.
TJ.
Yeah.
All right.
You're 17. What's up?
I've been trying to do oral sex on my girlfriend, but I can't bring myself to do it.
You don't like it?
I haven't tried it not to like it. I just can't do it.
Why can't you do it?
I don't know. I get close. I get to the belly button, but
it reminds me of watching the people on Survivor trying to eat maggots.
Did they try to eat maggots?
Well, they ate them, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Giant ones.
Oh, giant maggots?
Yeah.
So I was wondering what I do.
What's your nationality?
Black.
Yeah. All right.
From where?
You have a genetic predisposition not to like to eat out a woman. There's a problem there. Black guys don't like that.
Jamaican's picky, isn't that right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, all you people who want to think that there's no differences between any culture, good or bad, there are differences. Black guys don't like going down on women so much.
That's interesting.
I don't know what it is. They got such big penises, they don't have to.
You have to.
That's what it is. I have to. I got to get down there at the door before the date starts.
It's actually part of evolution. You guys had white guys had to compensate many, many generations ago.
That's right. The Corollas were all had their head. The family crest. Remember I used to tell you it was a dumpster with a futon leaned up against it, which used to be the Corolla family crest. It is now, I realize, it's parted legs and my dad coming up for air.
In order to reproduce, you had to develop an alternative.
Right. Black guys don't have to do that. Right. They have no waist and a big schlong and a washboard abs. Hey, TJ?
Yeah?
Just jump in. You're 17. Just jump in. I don't overthink it. Just jump in. Very interesting point.
Yes.
It's true. Like, if you're a guy with a beer gut and you're Lily White and you have a small penis, you sure as hell better get down there and get busy. What else is there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's the incentive? Why come back for seconds?
Why start in the first place?
Interesting.
And so that whole skill.
He's saying
the skill and preference need to evolve.
The black man with the thin waist, the washboard abs, and the big penis does not have to go down there.
It didn't evolve as a necessary element of preference, taste, or skill.
Interesting. But what about the enlarged nostrils the black man has for breathing? Would that be something that would be useful during the oral sex?
No, it's just getting to do more oxygen during the actual intercourse.
Oh, during the intercourse. Interesting. All right, all food for thought, everybody. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Christian, who's 23, started masturbating to help himself sleep, wants to know if that's normal. We'll tell her. It is after this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Coolio going to be in here later in the week, SR71, and Cindy Margolis.
He will be.
No, I won't. Stryker's going to fill in tomorrow night.
Yep.
And then...
Fabulous.
David Alan Greer is going to be in here for two nights.
Mm-hmm.
David Alan Greer is a very funny, very
smart,
very troubled young man. No, he's a very nice guy. He's got a ton of energy. I'm guessing he was molested when he was younger, but I don't know where he gets that energy, but he's got a ton of energy, and anyone who knows him from In Living Color, we'll stop bringing that up. Many of his movies, but especially Living Color. I mean, this guy is a talent, and he's going to come in here for a couple nights and hang in with Drew, and he doesn't have to, but he's going to, and God bless him. All right. Just hope he doesn't do too good a job. Christian?
Yeah.
You're
23. Yeah.
All right.
I'm calling because I have started masturbating in my sleep.
If you're asleep, how do you know that?
Because my boyfriend has told me. I live with my boyfriend, and he tells me that I'll just start masturbating, and well, sometimes I'll finish myself off, but I don't know.
Is that something you've ever done when you're awake?
I do it when I'm awake, too, but I've never done it while I've been sleeping.
Well, now you have.
All right, that's a good time. Listen, real quick, all that stuff you do when you're asleep that everyone puts a ton of thought and credence and effort and importance into, forget it. All those dreams you have, forget them. All that stuff you do when you roll over and you grab your girlfriend's ass, forget it.
You're asleep.
You're asleep. Just forget it. It don't mean anything.
But interestingly, the same thing can be said of what you do when you're on drugs.
You mean forget it?
Well, you're on drugs.
Well, so what's your point?
Just the point that people don't think about. It's easy if people accept sleep as like, oh, I was asleep, no big deal. But on drugs, somehow, there's got to be meaning and motivation. And, hey, you're on drugs. You do weird stuff when you're on drugs.
Yeah, but no, I would also argue... I would argue it was the other way around. Like, hey, I did a bunch of stupid ass when I was drunk. Well, you were drunk. What are you going to do? But that seems to mean something, that every time you get loaded, you decide to urinate onto a turntable.
You get loaded too much.
You get loaded too much. But in your sleep is when everyone tries to distill it down and pick it apart, find a point on it.
Right.
And I'm saying, hey, you're just asleep. You do stupid stuff.
Right.
Once in a while, you wake up and... the phone rings and you pick up the alarm clock and start talking into it.
Right.
You're not having a brain tumor. You haven't been abducted. You're asleep.
Yeah.
That's the way that goes. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say you guys both rock. Have been listening to you guys for years. Finally got through one of these times. But I've got a question for, I guess, Adam.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can help me out with this. Me and my boy and this girl that I'm really into went out to a club last night, and all three of us were rolling face. We weren't ecstasy. I'm sorry.
We're rolling. They call it rolling face, did he say?
Yeah.
How does this go rolling?
Well, when it's really hard and you guys, and when you're really into it, I heard rolling face.
Oh, rolling face. All right.
Yeah. So rolling is doing ecstasy, rolling face, doing a lot of ecstasy.
Well, not necessarily a lot of it, but getting a really, really good roll out of it.
All right. Like something like far out, that would be good.
I haven't heard that one in a while, but I could throw it in once in a while.
There's not enough of that humor on TV anymore either, Drew. You ever see it where the parent says, far up?
Groovy.
No, where they mispronounce it.
Right.
Where, the white cop on Sanford and Son would come in and he'd go, what it ain't.
Yeah.
Or, give me... three, my man. You know, and it was always like screwing up lingo. It was real funny. It was a Brady Bunch where Alice would go, wow, that's heavy. Far up. And it would always screw it up, and it was always a big laugh track there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. Am I in the right
place? No,
I was on three? Sorry about that. Josh?
Yeah, groovy.
Yeah, so your rolling face.
Right, and... like, he was all up on her, and he knew how into it I was and everything. And I, pulled him aside, mm-hmm. let him know what's up, told him, to back off, because I wasn't I wasn't chill with what he was doing.
Poor Rick, I don't chill.
And the second that we got back to where we were sitting, first thing he did was just get right back on her and start hugging her and hanging all over her and pulled her away to go down.
All right, but he had a ton of accidents.
I'm saying, but...
Well, this is what we were talking about. Right.
Well, what do you want to know? You go out with a girl you like, you bring one of your buddies, you get them all hopped up on X, and then you're surprised when he's dancing with her.
I mean, like, I was chill with him dancing everything on X, but then it continued over into tonight. I mean, like...
Well, then what happened?
He knew how upset I was and everything, and he went ahead and asked her out, and then I saw him before he went out with her tonight, and he totally, like, played it off, and I was like, I asked him straight up, are you... too chilling tonight, and he tried to find like a way of weaving out of it. He's like, well, yeah, but we're also chilling with these people tonight, so it's not like we're going alone.
They were just going to his hizzy or his crib or something like that.
But here's the reality. She's not into you, she's into him.
Excuse me?
That's reality here, right?
You heard
it. No, I didn't hear what he said.
I know, but you heard every word we said except for the part where Drew said she's into him and not into you.
I know.
Sorry, Josh. She's into it. There's two choices here. She's either into him and not into you, or she was into both of you and he happened to step up. So
either way, it's game over.
It's game off.
Yeah.
The thing is, tonight I totally, like, he was my best friend for years.
Yeah.
And tonight I called him up and I totally just, like, told him I never want to talk to him again, never want to see him again.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, can I call you back? I'm getting blown.
Nah, actually, he was pretty bummed about it. He was telling me that all the stuff that I thought wasn't true.
Josh, hold on a second. Hold on.
This is that energy you and I lost many years ago.
Yeah, you like this girl, and he likes this girl. I do like this girl.
She says, I think he does like her.
He does like her. That's why he's chilling with her. That's why Holmes is chilling with her. All right? Now... he's trying to play it off to you like he's not that into her because he knows you're into her.
You're going
to
afraid.
And he's tired of you talking about it. But he's into her. All right? And if you could be with her, you'd be with her too. And he's with her for the same reasons you want to be with her.
And she's
and this
to
stuff
him.
Goes on all the time, and it happens. And sometimes you lose, and other times you lose. That's what,
that was your story.
That's what I found out. You lose some. You lose some. That's the message that was driven home to me when I was in high school. You really, listen, here's the deal.
It's a shame to sacrifice the friendship over this.
Here's what I'm going to say to all you screwed up teenage boys out there. If you got a girlfriend, and she is your girlfriend, and one of your boys moves in on her, hey, that's grounds for dismissal
for both
her
both
and
them.
Him.
Yeah.
But if you're liking some chick and you're just floating around and you ain't making a move, it's like if you're in an auction and something comes up on the block, some Carl Yastrzemski trading card that you got your heart set on, but you don't raise your hand and your buddy does.
That's it.
He gets the card. That's his card.
It's your fault.
And it's your fault. Now, if it was stolen from your collection by him, that's different.
And if maybe you didn't have the money to pay for the card, but still his card.
Are we really talking about a card right now, or are we talking about a card?
You know what I mean? Sometimes it's not the right match. She may not be into this guy.
Right. But the auction analogy is a good one.
I think so.
You got to raise your hand as a guy. And if you're just going to sit there in the audience and hover around and wonder whether to make a move or not, someone else is going to make a move and go home with whatever's up on the block. And in that case, it's vagina. We got to jump the vagina. What I am, 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 fresh vagina. Hymen intact. What is that now?
So
small, the bone, low mileage on the bone. You ever see those guys?
Oh, sure.
I did one of those. I did like a. I modeled a like a raccoon coat or something for some sports show like 3 weeks ago in Vegas, and the guy. And it was a bunch of old codgers out there, and they're like, you know, a bunch of gray hairs in their 70s or at some sports show, and they didn't seem to like me or know who I was or anything.
How did you get wrapped into that one?
It's a long story, but I grabbed the microphone from the guy, and I was wearing this, like, camel hair full-length duster or something. It was like the jacket was worth like $1,800. They only got like $350 for it, probably because I was wearing it. Huh. But I grabbed the mic from the guy at a certain point, and I said, really, like, sternly and seriously, I said, listen, don't expect this jacket to look this good on any of you. And I was making a joke, but it was stunned silence of the ballroom of some big hotel. It was like 700 people, no one laughed. And I realized, okay, they're just pissed off now.
Okay. Mental note, do not go on stage with Adam Carolla ever again.
No,
I had the
right.
same experience with the Teen Choice Wars with you.
How dare you? How dare you? What, you mean when I said that the entire audience would die of
syphilis
before their 18th birthday?
Yeah, I think that's something to do with
it. I didn't say the entire audience. I said
most of you in the audience.
I said, Dr. Drew told me backstage that 40% of you will die of syphilis before your 18th birthday.
Then the cricket sound came in. And so you figured, now I have to see who I left out. Oh, Ricky Lake's backstage. I got to insult her now, too.
You know what I'm starting to realize? Stuff that I think is funny, other people don't think is funny sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like most of the time.
Yeah.
It's tough being a comedian when the stuff you think is funny
yeah.
is the stuff other people don't think is funny. It's almost one of the elements you need as a comedian, if you really think about it. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like being an interior decorator, and the stuff you like is the stuff everyone else hates. That's rough.
It's a true artiste, though, after all.
That's right.
Encumbered by person, by
no
style.
Nobody asked a Cezanne or a Van Gogh what they like.
Paint it
the way I like
they
it.
They hate it, in fact.
That's right.
So when you're dead and gone, we'll all learn to appreciate what you've delivered to the country.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Well, as you know, I have a plan to fake my own death and then commit suicide.
Remember you said about things you thought
subtle,
were funny?
It's a subtle difference.
Okay.
All right, John?
Yeah.
What's up?
Man, first of all, I want to tell you guys, you're the great guys. Love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adam.
Mm.
I saw you last time. You and Jimmy were playing softball.
Where?
Good. Oh, Montecito.
In Santa Barbara?
No, in L.A. It's in Montecito.
Oh, yeah. Were you on that other team?
No. I don't know if you remember my brother Josh.
Well,
I don't know. You probably don't. You know, you see a lot of people. But
What was your brother doing?
He's the one that said that we had our band going.
Oh, we were playing at a park, right?
Yeah, you guys were playing at a park.
And you guys were hanging out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I got some game, right?
Yeah, you got some game. You and Jimmy, pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the hospital a while ago for, like, overdosing, and,
On what?
You know what? The drug that came out, it came out negative. The test came out negative.
What'd you take?
I was smoking weed and I overdosed and I had to go to emergency room.
What do you mean overdose? What happened?
Like, I don't know. You know, I was smoking weed, but they found the substance in it, but it came out negative because they said.
What do you mean you overdosed? What caused you to go to the hospital?
You know what? I'm not sure. They said that it was the.
John. Did you stop breathing?
Yeah, like my heart started pumping really fast.
Right.
It was fast. They said that it got it to about 180.
Right.
And I came real close to dying, but they said that it could have been a new drug. That's why it didn't detect it.
You mean the weed was laced with something?
Yeah, it was laced with something. I got it laced.
So it's not an overdose. It's just some sort of drug exposure. Are you sure it wasn't just the drug itself?
You know, it could have been.
And you just had some sort of awful panic attack or something?
Yeah, it was kind of like a panic attack.
Yeah.
I had to go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they were giving me a test.
Mm-hmm.
And, they made me stick, like, a Q-tip in my penis.
They're looking for a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, like a swab thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, you know how you have to stick it in about an inch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I only stick it in like about a little bit. And I had like an inch on the side of my penis, like, and I kind of rubbed it on the side. And like about 3 days later, I started getting like a little blister. And it started hurting, like the pus started coming out.
Oh boy.
And
on the skin, not inside the area.
No, like, not on the side.
Oh, my chest started to hurt now.
Where I rubbed it. And, like, a little blister started coming out, and, like, for the first days, it started, like, about the first couple of days, like, pus started coming out. And then after, like, now, blood's coming out.
Ouch! Yeah. So, wait a minute.
I can't quite picture what you've done.
Listen. They gave him the swab and pulled the foot up his penis?
Yeah.
Did they do that?
You can do it that way, yeah.
Why don't they do more of that?
I don't know. It's so puritanically gratifying to cram a Q-tip up the other.
Yeah. Urethra? Yeah. How far do you have to put it up there?
Just barely in.
Just barely in. Mm-hmm. Why in? Just to get whatever's inside of
the
urethra?
You've got to swab the surface
of the urethra. Mm-hmm. And the last eighth of an inch or so is considered the outside of your penis.
Right.
So you got to get in, what, a quarter, three-eighths?
A quarter.
5/16
Quarter max, yeah.
Quarter max? Healthy quarter?
Yeah. What's that about, yeah?
5/16 a quarter's, you're looking between my fingers.
That's quarter?
Well, that's a healthy quarter.
Yeah, give me an unhealthy quarter then.
You want a light quarter? 3/16
Yeah.
All right. So what should you do? Get back to this?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to look at this. I can't even picture what he's describing. It's some sort of infection, obviously. And whether or not I wonder if he perforated part of the urethra with he said he scraped something inside there and he might have really done something.
Listen, let's talk to Derek. Derek is 21. Derek?
What's up, Adam?
What is happening?
Not much, man. How you doing, Dr. Drew?
Derek?
Say, Adam, I got your regulation backboard sizes.
Oh, good. Please, lay those on me because, as I said, I bought myself a basketball backboard today, and I went with the glass. Real glass. Do you hear me, all you low renters out there? Real glass
not
over the Corolla house.
Yeah, you know what the deal is?
I mean, seats are not glass. It's Lucite, right?
No, it is glass.
Really?
Yes.
You know what they're saying, though?
Because I'm going to do coke off it later on.
What are they saying?
I'm going to do vertical coke lines.
The prices are Lexan's actually more expensive.
The what?
Lexan. Like plastic Lexan.
No, I was told that the Lucite or the plexiglass was like $500 cheaper than the glass.
Mm. Well, anyway, here's your sizes, bro.
Yeah.
3.5 feet by 6 feet
Yeah, that's 42 by 72.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
I think, what are they like? I think they're an inch and a half thick, too, so.
Yeah. I don't really, I don't really care what the thickness is so much, just as long as it's a real glass.
I think you can get them with lifetime warranties, too, so.
They called me Chocolate Thunder in high school because I used to take down a lot of the backboards.
Especially if you have Jordan over, right?
No, I did it with a BB gun. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't hanging on any rim. I did it from the stands of the BB gun truck. Yeah. All right, Derek, thanks for that.
I got a question for you.
Oh, boy.
What was up with Stryker last week? It felt like 2 hours of lightning round.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
He's a radio guy.
Oh, man. I was dying.
What's wrong with the 2 hours of the lightning round?
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, what do you mean? It was too fast-paced?
Yeah, compared to you, normally, the commentaries were out there.
Well, I'm high on Quaaludes and Bacardi. That's the problem. But let me explain how this show works and what the problem is and how it goes. I am told constantly to take more calls and stop talking about my dad and my backboard and my garbage man and all the tons of other things that don't interest the people who listen to this show. My problem is I cannot do that. Because the day I do that, it's the day I lose interest in the show because I'm not talking about my own life.
Me.
In me. And I like to refer to myself, moi. All right? And I've been told since I started this show 5 years ago, take more calls and hurry up and enough of your personal insights and stories, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I find myself so fascinating, and I can't accept that people don't either.
All things we know well.
Right. And then I
and then you tell jokes and talk about things that you think are funny but nobody else does.
That's what I do. That's what makes me a bad comedian. And then I talk about Space Camp for 15 minutes.
Who brought that up?
What
was with the Space Camp thing?
Somebody from ABC called me and complimented me on my Space Camp jag. So how dare you and how dare you? And let me just say this, by the way. I watched that Buzz Lightyear cartoon that I didn't know I was in. You want to know how retarded I am and how far out I am and how distant I am from my own goddamn career?
Yeah.
I did a Disney movie and was not aware of it.
Yes.
When they sent me the movie that I was in, I thought it was the preview or the movie that was going to come out before my cartoon was going to come out.
The real talent performed it.
That Tim Allen and all the other talent was in, and I ended up giving them away without even looking at them because I didn't assume that I was in it. somewhere along the line, I did the voiceover for the current Buzz Lightyear movie that's out on video and had no idea that I was doing it. And as somebody who knew me well said, well, they probably told you at some point and you didn't listen. Yeah. And I said, I started to object, and then I thought, no, you're right. I'm sure they did, and it was just one more thing I wasn't listening to. So, if anyone wants to hear the fabulous Commander Nebula on the Buzz Lightyear video, they can go out and get it. It looks pretty good. Of course, I just fast-forwarded to my scene. Hmm. Jennifer?
Jennifer?
She's got me sleeping. Scared
of the dark and can't sleep at night. It's ironic that she may be sleeping now. No greater tribute you can pay to
maybe
a radio show.
Oh, the solution. Maybe this is the way she should
start listening to the show. More powerful than any sedative. Adam's Garbage Man story again. Hey, listen, you kids, any of you insomniacs, any folks out there having difficulty sleeping, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll set up a little time, let's say a few nights from now, where I tell one of my famous high school football stories.
Oof.
And then what you do is I'll tell the story about me hitting a home run in high school with a bloody nose.
Oh.
This is a great story I've told many, many times on the air. Now, what you do is you record this, and then you can take it with you when you travel. You can play it on weekends.
No, I have a better idea. We should create one of those, little sound machines that create background noises.
Right.
One of the settings could be Corolla Soul.
Adam, it'll be called AR, Adam Rambles.
And there's just a little sign of a football, thing of a football there?
No, it's like a Brillo head on a microphone, right? Yeah. And it just sounds like this. It's okay, here's what you would hear. So it'd be like rain, babbling brook, autumn
in New England,
and then Adam Rambles.
Yeah.
And that setting would be like, ah, blah, 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 garbage man, blah, 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 taxes, blah, 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 kiss my ass, blah, 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 parking enforcement personnel, blah, 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 dad, blah, 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 grandma, blah, 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 ma, blah, 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 football, blah, 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 baseball, blah, 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 construction, blah, 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 not getting paid now. Blah, 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 kiss my ass.
Literally
a millionaire. Blah, 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 literally a millionaire. Four. I mean, don't you think I'd put him right down? That'd be like a tranquilizer dart.
Well, it could create some awful flashbacks, though, too.
Yeah.
You have to be real careful with it. It's one of the things that goes
so
bad.
I started having bad dreams. All right, we're going to take a little break before I fall asleep. Is Jennifer still there?
Is she there?
She's on hold for 90 minutes.
She's asleep.
I really do think she's asleep. Right, let's listen.
Turn her up, yeah. There she is.
And I think I can hear her breathing.
Yeah,
chicks don't snore.
And they're real short. There she is.
Yeah.
Real short expression.
They breathe like rabbits, chicks.
Okay.
Hey, remember when our security guard fell asleep on the sofa? I got a 20-foot mic extension brought out and put it next to him, and he was sawing logs out there. Just sawing, and we did the whole show, and we check in with the sofa mic, and he was out there snoring, and I think he got canned the next day.
Yeah, he was not here the next day.
I got to believe it's not my fault.
That's why when they fall asleep, they're sleeping in their cars.
Right. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be back. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Corolla, that is Dr. Group. Just got a phone call that one of my friends got arrested for having a pot plant in his house. That's just where we want our tax dollars going, don't
we? I told Bill Martin that I wanted to go on with you on the show again and talk about victimless crimes and teen pregnancy and all the stuff we scream about, abuse and parenting and that, one of the kids. All the stuff we scream about here, I want to talk about.
Yeah.
On PI.
And he said, who are you?
No, I said, yeah, done.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen.
They don't like the couples thing on PI, but that's what they're doing.
I got to do just a very minor jag here, everybody. Do you realize what percentage of people who are in prison are there because of victimless crimes?
Mm-hmm.
The prostitution or pandering for prostitution or pot or drugs or whatever, stuff they bring upon themselves, actually, and don't hurt anybody, and how much money and resources we have tied up in this godforsaken country of ours stopping people that we don't want stopped.
Right.
And here's my contention.
That
aren't going to stop anyway, but I've said this 1,000 times, and I know law enforcement personnel isn't very excited to hear this particular opinion, but here is your job. You do what we want you to do. Let's not lose sight of that.
Well, I think they would agree with that.
Well, there's a lot more guys, and listen, there's 3 guys sitting around staking out the porn theater to bust Pee Wee Herman. And I don't blame them. If you're a cop, what detail you want to be on? Sitting around watching porn or rolling through some gang-infested area getting shot at?
Right.
Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be as a cop? Getting shot at or watching porn? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you want to be on that detail. But listen, you're an extension of us, and you do what we think is important. And I know this starts with the government and the legislation and the lawmakers. But listen, you crazy idiots. If a guy's got a pot plant in his apartment and he wants to grow it and roll it or hump it or do whatever he wants to do with it, that's his goddamn business. I mean, what kind of country are we living in? Seriously, what are the founding what do you think the founding fathers would have thought of somebody coming into your home and arresting you because of a plant that you had growing in your sink? You think they would have been excited about that notion? And all you a-holes that are out there yelling about not wanting to register guns and not wanting to get your car smogged and not wanting government, not wanting big government intruding in our lives. Where are you on this stuff? I don't hear you yapping about the pot.
Well, I was talking to Ralph Nader tonight about it.
Where are they with that?
He agrees with you on this one. He just hasn't gotten behind that yet because his question to me was, when do we decide that this is a politically untouchable issue? Why is that untouchable? Why can't I start talking about it? The political pundits won't let him get near it. He's like, hey, I want to talk about this.
What?
Let them pop them.
Yeah, or drugs in general.
Yeah, he thinks they're...
Or what you want to do to yourself when you're on your own property and on your own time. Whether you want to drink a fifth of tequila, whether you want to drink a fifth of your own urine, whether you want to spank off to some midget clown porn, or whether you want to roll a doobie, you are not breaking any laws. You are inside of your own home. The notion that I pay a ton of taxes, own a home, and can't grow a pot plant in my backyard, to me, is unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And the fact that someone can come onto my property and arrest me for that when I'm not driving on it and I'm paying my taxes is ridiculous.
You gotta get behind the Todd McCormick.
Oh, well, he's gone a little off the deep end. He's got 7,000 pot plants on someone else's property that he rents.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same thing. But the point is this where we want our money spent?
Mm-hmm.
How many officers got to show up at the house? How much does it cost to process this?
Mm-hmm.
How much is it going to cost this guy to get an attorney? How much energy and resources goes into nothing? Nothing! Zero. Zero effect on society. Zero. One adult with one pot plant, not in his apartment.
But you know what? I think it's going to be...
Zero.
It's going to take about 20 more years for this really to be mainstream.
Cops.
No, you know, we need to be 50.
Listen to me.
That to be,
politicians and then need to tell cops, here's what you do. And here's... Okay, let me say 2 things real fast and we'll get back to this show.
Of course, it'll be fast.
As politicians, you know what your job is? You do what the F we want you to do.
Figure out what we want to do, them to do.
We can all agree we don't give a rat's ass about some guy who's got a pot plant in his crappy apartment. Mm-hmm. All right? Then you tell the cops to do what you want them to do, which is what we want them to do, which is what we told your sorry ass to do. That's the way it has to work. And guys who are going out and getting laid, and we don't want 100 of you trying to bust Heidi Fleiss. We don't want 5 of you camped out in some Dade County porn shop trying to bust Pee Wee Herman, and we don't want a bunch of you rolling in busting my friend with a pot plant. Because it doesn't affect us. We don't care. We're worried about our own safety. Not about guys who are whacking off or getting stoned. Why that is not the easiest thing to figure out in the entire planet, I don't know. Why that wasn't abolished years ago and why no one is talking about it, I can't figure out. And where are you gun pussies?
Because
hold on a second. Where are you pussies? Always talking about your amendments and your rights.
Because
where are you? Where are you when it comes to this?
You know what? Religion.
You're hiding, you pussies.
Religion.
You're a bunch of right-wing, God-fearing freaks, and all you care about is your guns and abortion, but you don't care about anything like this. Nothing real.
Religion figures into American politics.
Of course it does. Where are you gun wackos when it comes to this sort of stuff? Oh, if they come in to confiscate one of your precious 30-round banana clips, you're raising hell. Hey, you're sitting here making an argument that you can have a 30-round banana clip on your sink, but you can't have a pot plant on your sink. Why isn't it the same dude? You know what I mean? Where's Rush Limbaugh? Rush Limbaugh and all these other right-wing Republican jack-offs are yelling constantly about constitution, anti-American, constitution, gun. But what about a pot plant? What's the difference? It's the state infringing upon your right, your freedom, your God-given American rights. That's what it is. Where are you pussies when it comes to this? You're off polishing your guns. That's where you are. How come? Where? Oh, why isn't that the same guy?
Because we need a new party for that one. Dale?
Yes.
23.
All right, listen, now I'm sweaty.
I'm grossed out. What's up, Joe?
That's okay. I have a friend that's 26 years old, and he jacks off a lot, and he can get off by himself. But while he's having sex, he has to wait until she's done and go get off himself.
Hmm.
And I'm really interested in him.
How do you know this without being his girlfriend?
I talk to him a lot.
This is kind of like, what was it, Weave that has that old aphorism about the real thing?
But I also have...
No, that's Snake.
Snake.
Yeah, masturbation. Sex is good, but it's not the real thing.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I can get off.
The Weezer's aphorism is juice them up and go. A little bit different.
Nice.
It's got to do with Boone's Farm and women. All right, so, listen, who cares?
Why don't you start dating him then?
Because he... I don't know that he's actually interested in me.
Why wouldn't he be? And what would make you think that he wasn't?
Well, I put myself down a lot.
Oh, listen, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I'm fat. I've got a child.
Yeah, what's up? What are you coming in at?
I'm a single mother, to put it bluntly.
How tall are you?
I am 23.
23 inches tall? Now, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
All right, 5'6", how much you weigh?
I weigh 260 pounds.
260, all right. Let me do the radio math here. 5'6", 260. Carry the 5, we're going to 4. Ooh, we're at 5'4¼", 283. So that's a lot of gal. And what are you doing, to lose the weight?
Well, I do Tai Bo, but then... I also I go out dancing a lot.
You go out and dance it?
Yeah.
Do you see a dietitian, anything like that?
Actually, I have a really, really tight diet to where
you should write a book.
I eat once a day.
5'4", 280, you got to write a book.
Gail, if you had followed a dietary plan, you would know that eating once a day is probably the worst way to lose weight.
You know, I know that.
Okay, so.
I've had 2 brain surgeries.
For what?
I have had brain cancer. And right now it's in remission.
Right.
But I'm on a whole bunch of pills that takes away my appetite.
Okay.
So I can't eat. And I try to force myself to eat.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Well, what do you eat once a day? 6 foot sub?
No.
You're 280. I mean, you got to eat something that once a day, right?
I weigh 260, and...
I did the radio math. I got you up at 283.
Now, what do you eat at lunch or whatever?
I eat red meat. I eat just whatever my daughter eats when I feel like fixing.
Strained peas. How old's your daughter?
My daughter is 19 months old.
So she eats regurgitated yams, and that's what you eat?
No, she doesn't eat regurgitated.
Hold on, let me talk to Drew.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Drew, I want to put this call in the cart so I can feel better about myself when I'm complaining. Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a tough life here.
Yeah.
All right, who is this, Gail?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to make Gail feel better. All right. I'm going to do it in about 30 seconds. One of my amazing inspirations. I make you money through real estate.
Oh, God.
You see that Porsche? That's my toy. That scarab boat? That's my toy. Those Coke bitches on there? That's other people's toy, but they let me use them for commercial.
I wish I had all that.
All right, listen. Gail, listen to me, baby.
Uh-huh.
All right, you've been through a lot, okay?
Yeah.
And you've had a tough life. But that's all right. You're 23.
Uh-huh.
That's nothing. You got plenty of time. And all you got to do is change very slowly but consistently, and you can carve yourself out the kind of life that you want for you and for your child, most importantly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you get with a dietitian. You get on a plan. You don't just eat once a day and eat what your kid's eating. Your kid's eating cotton candy. And in candy corn, you got to get yourself on a little diet. You got to get yourself a little exercise. Eat three times a day. Meet a dietitian. And as far as the sex and the men and all that kind of stuff, that all come. But first, you got to get yourself. You got to take care of yourself.
I didn't ask the guy out anyway. It's just to see.
Yeah,
you talk to a lot, and you can see. You know, guys,
black guy?
No.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. Won't work.
No, he's not that.
But guys do tend to maintain friendships when it's a friendship they want.
Yeah.
So.
But listen, hold on one more time. Hey, Gail?
Yeah?
Hey, don't look at yourself as damaged goods or used property or anything like that. You're Gail. You're fine. You take care of yourself, okay?
I wish I was fine.
Well, you be fine and you be strong on behalf of that daughter of yours, okay?
Okay.
All right. Do you have the biological dad? Is he around?
Oh, God, every once in a while when he wants to be.
Does he throw any money your way?
$20 a month.
$20? Oh, my God.
What? $20 a month?
And I am through recovery services. But he's got a full-time job, and he's on disability.
How do you, all right, I don't know.
No.
All right, sorry. Okay, listen. Remember my weed and seed program? Except for I'm just weeding, I'm not reseeding.
You going to weed this guy?
I might do some serious weeding in this situation, yeah.
Here we go. Going to break.
He's on disability. He's working full-time. He gives me $20 a month. And you guys are pissed at the rich man. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Amber, the mystery call. Mm-hmm. It's one of my new radio tactics. Yeah! All right, I shot my wad in the first hour of 45 minutes of this show, so I'm going to toast. Drew, you with me?
Let's go. Talk to the mystery caller.
Oh,
Amber.
Oh, yeah, right. Hey, Amber.
Yeah.
You 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, my dad thinks that I'm having sex and I'm using drugs and I'm not, and I'm afraid he's going to kick me out.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get this feeling?
Because, like, he knows my friends from when I was, like, 5 years old, and they got into doing that.
Yeah.
And he automatically thinks that I am because, like, I'll go out for lunch with my friends or something.
Yeah, he's going to kick you out based on no incidents.
Yeah.
And no problems behaviorally with you?
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, what are you gonna do?
Well, he's. Yeah.
I don't believe her.
I don't believe him.
I don't believe him or her. Your dad's not gonna toss you out based on nothing.
Or you're doing something.
I'm not doing this.
Well, then he's not gonna toss you out.
He doesn't believe me though because like he comes home and he's already drunk and everything else.
Oh.
Where's he coming home from?
Work.
Yeah. What kind of work does he do?
He's a truck driver.
Oh. Well, good thing he's drunk when he comes home. And, all right. He has nothing to go on. Never found any pot on you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
grades are good at school.
My grades aren't great, but...
He's not concerned about anything in terms of who you're hanging with? Or...
Uh-uh.
All right, well, listen. All you can do is give him nothing to go off of, and that's about it.
All he ever talks about, though, is how he's going to kick me out.
Where's your mom?
She died.
Oof. Your grandma, grandpa?
He kicked her out during the winter. She froze.
That's nice. Just outside a big ice cube.
What happened?
To my mom?
Yeah.
She had a brain tumor.
Oh, boy. How long ago was that?
About 6 years.
Yeah, boy. I'm sure this is just the way she would have wanted it, too. Truck driving, accusing dad, trying to kick you out of the house. Hey, Amber.
Yeah?
What about you having a nice heart-to-heart with your dad on, let's say, Sunday morning?
When he's not been drinking.
The holiest of all days when he's hungover. And say to him, listen, Dad, I'm your daughter. I love you. I wouldn't lie to you. I know some of these people are doing X, Y, and Z. I'm not doing it. And I hope you know that and trust me.
I tell you that before and he doesn't listen.
Oh,
he
right.
Hates sober.
No, listen, who cares?
But he's sober.
I don't believe her.
That she's been perfect. You don't believe that.
I believe this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
I also believe that if her grades are good and she's not getting into trouble and he's not finding rolling papers in her jeans when he's doing the wash and all that kind of stuff and he never found anything and he just sits there and says, I'm going to throw you out of the house for doing drugs, that she's lying, that there's something she's leaving out.
Right.
Or he's got a brain tumor, too.
Right, right.
The guy's, I'm sure the guy's not a great guy, but I'm sure he's not Satan. If you're not giving him anything to go off of, see, we get a lot of that on this show. We get a lot of, my teacher has it in for me. What'd you do? Nothing.
Yeah.
Did you ever do anything? Nothing. My boss has it in. My girlfriend's parents. What have you said to them? Nothing. I never believe it. People rarely have it in, especially for their own daughter, when they do zero. So, I don't know. If he's going to kick you out of the house, then why don't you better talk to a friend and find a place to stay.
Grandparents.
He's not kicking her out. Rebecca?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
Recently, whenever I have sex and have an orgasm afterwards, my clit and everything down there gets really hard and stays hard for a long time. And it hurts, it's uncomfortable, and it doesn't happen when I masturbate, it's only when I have sex.
Petrified poontang. Have you heard of that?
No. No.
Kissy syndrome?
What?
Stays hard down there? Now, yeah. The whole area stays hard?
No, just a small area. It's almost like...
Are you on medication?
No.
Any medicine?
No, birth control.
Which one?
Low Orville.
And have you noticed this just since being on the pill, or is that...
No, I've been dating the same guy for about 5 years, and I've been on that as long, and it's just been within the last 6 weeks or so.
No medicine, nothing else.
No,
histamines, anything like that?
She is on a new drug called Orthostiflclitor.
Anti-allergen.
Have you heard of that?
Seriously, Rebecca, anything over the counter...
Honestly,
nothing,
and that's
zero.
What I'm concerned, is there's no reason, and it's kind of freaking me out a little bit, because I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and it's still hard.
Well, it's just, it's blood in there that does that, irritation. And
yeah.
Why is that staying that way? Men get something like that, too, but usually it's from medication.
Do I need to ice it?
Well, icing might help decrease the blood supply. The blood
rigor mortis. Could be rigor mortis setting in. Maybe it's dead.
No, I don't believe it's dead, but why, I just don't understand why it would only
happen. All right, well, listen, that's you. That's how, there's certain things you do that are you.
I don't know. Obviously, have somebody take a look at the anatomy, make sure that it's okay.
Hey,
pelvic exam, yeah.
You know, some more humor that's missing from TV?
Mm-hmm. Rigor mortis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of rigor mortis humor.
Yes.
Just rigor mortis. Just the word rigor mortis is missing from the television lexicon.
I got worked into most TV sitcoms.
Rigor mortis. A lot of rigor mortis. Rigor mortis setting in. Stuff would happen. You know, like, some guy would grab a piece of spaghetti that had dried up and say that rigor mortis had set in.
Yeah.
I think something got hard or something, rigor mortis. And even the word rigor mortis just got thrown around.
Sure.
Don't hear about rigor mortis on TV anymore.
Where was that most? Was that sort of Gilligan's Island
It was that era, but did somebody, the word rigor mortis must have been around for a while.
Yeah.
How long has it been around?
Oh, Latin.
It's Latin, so it's been at least 70 years, is what you're saying, right? And the point is it only it caught on from like 68 to 74, and that was it. Let me talk to this guy real fast. Brian?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 21?
Yes.
You're gay and you're constantly cheating on your boyfriend with strangers?
It's not strangers. It's like people that like go to the club and like hang out with them. And
you're putting both of you in harm's way, right?
Right.
You're screwing with the relationship, and if you can't stop doing that, that's the time for therapy. It really is.
And he has no clue what is going on.
Well, you're
good. Don't tell me. You wearing a condom?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen. This is how all you gays get the HIV.
No, this is the deal. Actually, I just had an STD, and I had to get him, like, treated for it, too.
Well, there you go.
And he was able to do it without him suspecting anything?
The only way I could do that was, it's called, I forgot what it's called. It's like gonorrhea, but it's not.
Chlamydia?
No, it's like UND.
Yeah, non-gonococcal urethra.
All right, well, listen, here we're on time. Here's my point. Stop it.
Yeah.
Or put a condom on.
Or both.
Stop it and put a condom on. I agree with Drew. Well, I'm really into that Adam Sleepy Time message.
They are. Sorry.
Blah, 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 pot plant in your own house. Blah, 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 park enforcement.
The man.
The man. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. And about 22 hours.
Great. And you'll be back next Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to...
Coolio tomorrow night.
Coolio, everybody, tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla with Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff.